Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in the programme, I'll have an update on how new routes from City of Derry Airport have boosted passenger figures, and I'll also be finding out about what the agri-food regulator's role is and how it is of relevance to businesses here in Donegal. Firstly, though, it's time to reflect on the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards, which were held last weekend. Sean Quinn is head of sales at Highland Radio and the driving force behind the awards. Well, he came into studio to tell me about some of the highlights and to give an insight into just how big an occasion it was and how through the radio station and its social media platforms, so many businesses and indeed individuals benefited positively. I began by putting it to him that with so many boxes ticked, it was a win-win situation just to be nominated and to be involved.
It was indeed, Chris. I can't believe I'm actually sitting here speaking about it after our kind of 6 to 8 week, I suppose, like the hard work that goes behind it. And just to remind you, last year was our first ever awards for the hospitality. And we got such a great feedback from people in the room, but we said, we have to go again here. We have to make it happen in 2025. And I'm sitting here today saying, I think we have to go again in 2026, because it was a brilliant night, absolutely brilliant.
And no doubt you built on things from the first year. You tweaked probably a couple of things.
We did, and one major one was actually we introduced the public vote, and that blew everybody away. You've got about roughly 120 shortlisted businesses across the, bear in mind, with 15,500 nominations. So we broke that down. And so we went out there and we said, vote for your favourite, vote for the company that you want to see win. And we got over 72,000 votes, which was just insane.
And this is where radio really comes into its own with the backup of social media. I mean, no other organisation locally could do something like this.
You've hit the nail on the head, Chris, because between ourselves using our own air and our social media, but also the businesses, they went looking as well. And the ones that got the most votes are the ones that went and asked and said and shared and looked for, vote for us if you like what we do. And if I was to put a figure on it, I would have said if we got 20,000 votes, it would have been a success. To get over 72,000 was just absolutely phenomenal. And the smallest, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a one-man band or you're a big hotel, there was thousands, thousands and thousands and thousands coming on a daily basis. So we were delighted we did it. And we're delighted that actually added value to the whole awards and the results. Because I think the general public should be involved in the process. So that's a success. And we'll 1,000,000% keep it for next year.
Yeah. And arising out of it and the whole process, for those people who were nominated, for the businesses and indeed some individuals, you know, this was a automatic advertising as well of their own businesses and feel-good factor, positivity. So ticking a lot of boxes just to be involved in any way.
Yeah, and the one word I'd use is prestige, because they were being rewarded by being shortlisted. And I spoke to a lot of people in the room on Sunday, and they were just delighted to be there, Chris. Win or lose, they were delighted that they had got that far. They were in the room, they were enjoying the whole evening, and left very, very happy as well. So, you know, it's a cliche to say everyone's a winner, because they're not, but really they are, because to be there, to be shortlisted through all those, the 15,500 shortlists, is an achievement in its own. And to be associated and get behind the Highland brand that is Highland Radio, what we do, is a major achievement for them.
So a sellout occasion. It was held in Jackson's Hotel in Balbuffet, and no doubt you could have fitted in more had there been more room, because, you know, everybody involved with all the businesses, they wanted to be there.
It was just incredible, because when we sent out the shortlisting, we asked if there was additional seats or tickets left, would you take some? and there's no room that could actually have taken it. So we got to just under 500 people, and that's, I have to say, Jackson's were phenomenal again. I was just delighted that the service that it provided, even working with them on the lead up to it, nothing was a problem. And I think everybody that was there on Sunday will say that when they walked in, it was a wow factor. The room looked absolutely amazing. And from start to finish then, it became a night that was just full of crack, energy within the room. Everybody enjoyed themselves. And again, I just want to thank Jackson's because what they delivered for us was exactly what I wanted. And I think we improved on last year, which is always very, very good. And I'm not the easiest person to please at times, but I was absolutely delighted.
And as some of the people walked in, as you've touched on there, you know, they were just blown away by the whole setting. Instantly they knew this was such a prestigious occasion. This was right up there.
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I was taken aback myself, because obviously I knew what we did last year and what we delivered last year. We had a lot of new businesses in the room this year who hadn't been part of 2024. But the feedback and the energy, you just knew as you walked in the room, people were ready to have a great night, to party, and they did that. And we entertained them throughout the night, with a dinner first and then some music during the dinner and then straight into the awards, which are high intensity, but absolutely brilliant.
Now, just give us a brief overview of the awards. Basically, it was sort of split into four sort of subsections.
It was, yeah. So our first awards category was Tourist and Entertainment Sector, which was kindly sponsored by Airgrid. So we'd 10 in each category. And I suppose that one of the standouts was the Tourist Attraction of the Year, which was Glenveagh National Park were up against Oakfield Park and Slieve League Visitor Centre. So there are three very good attractions. And there was one winner on the evening. And I think it was fair that Glenveagh National Park were rewarded, because it's an incredible facility that you have on your doorstep. And sometimes we forget that, Chris, the work that goes behind the scene to make it perfect for people to go and visit on a daily basis. So we were delighted to recognise them, and they were delighted to receive it.
And in that sector, you know, great variety of things, you know, everything from best family venue to best Santa experience, best coffee stops. So, you know, even from a geographical point of view, you were covering the whole county here.
Yeah, and there were some emotions in the room as well, because there was family stories on businesses. Like the coffee stop was Elaine's Cup of Joe, which was named after Lorraine's mother. So she was very emotional to have actually won the award. And it was a business that she only started up a few years ago. And, you know, even the Santa experience, the joy on the faces of the winners when they came to get their photographs taken with the trophy was just amazing. And it's things like that just tell me we need to do this again, because this works. It works in every way.
And the tourism and entertainment sector, so important for Donegal. We have so many great things out there. And so, you know, particularly rewarding to see this sector with, again, that the standard was phenomenal.
Absolutely. And so was the voting for this section as well. We got a lot of votes for each business. So that's great. And the businesses that were shortlisted were delighted to be part of that whole process. And it does emphasise what we do have in Donegal. It's good. We do well. We're very good at what we do. And congratulations to every single business. And good luck for the following year, because we're just now coming into the tourist season.
So let's move on. The next of the four sectors we're going to look at is
Bar and Pub.
Bar and Pub, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Bar and Pub. So that was, again, there was 10. And I suppose that the big one was the Bar of the Year. And that was probably, I'm going to say it was probably the loudest cheer of the night when O'Flaherty's Bar won the Bar of the Year. The place went absolutely, I think every single person in Buncrana that was from Buncrana were standing on their feet. So it was very lively, but it was well-deserved, because it's a great bar and they're family-owned. They work very hard at what they do and they deliver a very good product and service.
And a case often of sort of but delivering above expectations and giving that little bit extra.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I suppose that what they were delighted is to be recognised for doing what they love doing. And the staff, they were just, they had their staff Christmas party. So they made it their party night out. And
great idea.
They'll never forget their Christmas party in 2025.
And then we had some of the, I suppose, well, I can't call them the old favourites because they only the second year, but no surprise that there were categories like Best Pint of Guinness and Best Traditional Bar. And again, great response to these particular awards.
Absolutely. And the great thing is, this was right across the county, Chris. Mm. This wasn't Letterkenny-centric. This was from Malinhead as far over into Ballyshannon. That's the ground we covered. We got into Killybegs across all the awards within the evening. So I don't think there was a part of Donegal that wasn't there in the room at that night, which is great.
I'm speaking with Sean Quinn, Head of Sales here at Highland Radio, about the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards, which were held in Jackson's Hotel in Balbuffet. We've looked at tourism and entertainment and the bar and pub awards. And just, again, sponsors, I think BizPrint sponsoring the bar and pub awards.
They did, yeah. And then thanks to Paddy, because he came on board this year. He hasn't really been involved with the awards before. But I think, yeah, he had a good night. He enjoyed himself. He was very much part of it because we asked all our sponsors to be part of the photographs as well, part of the actual winning process. So, yeah, I was delighted to have Paddy on board for this year, and hopefully he'll come with us again for next year.
And you mentioned their photographs afterwards on social media. The people who were there, the awards as they went up, it was going like wildfire around the place.
It was amazing. Looking at now, is it great for our brand? Absolutely it is, because people are sharing what we're doing on the evening. But the amount of photographs of the winners, even the room, just see the room and different social media pages. We were live at different times during the evening. I think at one stage we'd over 500 people actually watching live. So there was interest outside the room because people obviously, if they voted, they wanted to see did their favourite business, did they win? So and we've kind of got that right too. We've got better at that. So the exposure for the whole evening for the businesses, as you said at the start, the promotion that they get out of this is phenomenal. Yeah. And that's the part I love.
Now, two more sectors to look at. What's next?
So, the restaurant, which was restaurant sector, was sponsored by Northwest Gas. And the big one of the year is the restaurant of the year. And it was a tough one because you had the Rusty Mackerel, you had Anderson's Boathouse, and Jack Paddy Oaks. So three brilliant restaurants. And the winner on the evening, which again was well received within the room, was the Rusty Mackerel, a fabulous restaurant. And they were so gracious and delighted at actually winning the event. And the photographs, you'll see them on social media. There's some great pictures in the back with the whole team getting the photographs taken. It looked really brilliant.
So the Rusty Mackerel taking the accolades there, Sean, and many a person going to Sleeve League or any of the other great sites around Southwest Donegal may have dropped into the Rusty Mackerel in the past.
Probably some people from the north of Donegal has never heard of it, but they have now. And if you are going if you decide to go and take a day out in Donegal in the coming months, go in and see them around there and go in and test it out, because the food is fantastic. There'll be people that don't know it's there. So, if you're going over to the south of the county, they're in Carrick. And, go and plan a day out in Donegal. Go and see Donegal. We encourage that because the attractions, as we said earlier, they're incredible. And the offering of food that they serve, they've been rewarded for a reason, because thousands of people actually voted for them to be the winner of the restaurant of the year. So if you do get a chance, go and see the Rusty Mackerel, and I'm sure you won't be disappointed.
And also, when you call into these local places, if you're not familiar with them, they can give you guidance of how to get to A or B and maybe somewhere else that you there could be a hidden jewel nearby that you don't know about.
They could help map your day. All you got to do is ask the question.
Indeed. Right, the hotel sector, and we're blessed here in Donegal, Sean, that we have so many quality hotels who, they're constantly winning awards outside of the county, be it Ulster or National, and that shows the standard that we have here.
It does, and it was actually said to me afterwards when it settles down a little bit after the awards that two of the hotels spoke to me and recognised that it means more to be recognised from their people in Donegal, and the awards that they'd won on the night is very, very special, and the accolade that goes with it. But it's also for the staff to be recognised and acknowledged about the hard work. And I want to mention Jackson's on the evening as well, because the hard work that their staff put in on that, almost 500 covers to feed in an hour and a half, is tight going, Chris. But that's what they do in the hotel section. a sector within Donegal. And, you know, whether you're coming into Donegal as a visitor on your holidays or you're local, we are blessed, as you rightly said, to have so many good hotels spread out across the county and very reasonably priced as well. If you want to go out and have a bite to eat, and I'd encourage that again, go and use what we have on your doorstep.
And I'm sure for the judges and everybody, you know, choosing the hotel of the year, that was no easy task.
I wouldn't like to have been there now. Yeah. I wouldn't like. And the anticipation in the room for that one, it was the last award of the evening, so you can just imagine it was like a crescendo. And Harvey's Point for the second year actually won the best hotel of the year. And were recognised for the quality of service that they provide. And well done to them, because what they do down there is exceptionally good in, you know, what is a tough market at times. Mm-hmm. So well done to them. But we'd, that whole section was brilliant because it was, there was such a mix of different hotels in different parts of the awards. So well done to everybody that had been shortlisted there, because you're doing a brilliant job. And I look forward to being into some of them in the coming months. And I wish them the very, very best for the coming season as well. And I'm sure we're going to have a bumper one.
And indeed, Sean, either directly or indirectly, the awards process itself, you know, this helps lift the bar even higher and higher, because people are competitive. Businesses need to give that little bit extra. Yep. And, you know, each year you're trying to improve.
Well, the milestone is who can win it in 2026? And I'm sure that they'll all be looking at that today and saying, right, okay, what can we do extra? What can we do differently? How do we get to that next level? And whilst I'm on it, I also want to thank Safetec, because their support for the second year running in the hotel sector, we were delighted to have them. And they were there on the evening to enjoy the whole being part of the award ceremony. So thanks to them in advance. But yeah, it's exciting times.
So wrapping up, Sean, 2 years done. You're not quite working on next year's yet, but it won't be long. And these things take a lot of organising.
They do, Chris. And I suppose what we are actually starting to think about, we had a debriefing meeting that we looked at what we're happy with, what could we improve on next year? Because it is about improving on a year-on-year basis, making it the event to go to into 2026. So, yeah, we're put in the calendar. I have confirmed we will be going back to Jackson's next year as well. But the next one is we have to start looking and talking about our customer service awards, which are going to be on the 5th of October. And we'll start looking at that. We'll start planning that. That's as big. There'll be 550 people probably in the Mount Argyle Hotel to celebrate that. And as you rightly said, there's a lot of work goes behind the scenes to make it happen. There's two girls in particular, although the commercial team upstairs on the night were all involved and they were brilliant. But there's two girls, Corinne and Anya, who have lived and breathed the hospitality awards for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And without them, we don't deliver what we deliver. So I'm blessed and lucky to have them. They're a great team. We all work very well together. And I think that's the team ethos makes it deliver what we delivered and how good it was and why we got the feedback from people that they had a great night. And it was as probably the best award ceremony they've been to. So that's recognition in its own. That gives me the energy to say, let's do it again.
And Sean, worth pointing out, if you have got an award, many of the businesses, you proudly display this award. And you know yourself, you could be somewhere on holidays. You don't know an area, you're going to be at a shop, a restaurant, a bar, and you see that it's got X award. That encourages you to go in. So this is going to boost business for those people who've won it.
Totally, Chris. They're now award winners. You can now say you're an award winner, and it's a prestige award. It's a Highland Radio Hospitality Award. So and if it helps them to grow their business, then that's even better. I also wanted to just to mention that it was brilliant to have Donegal County Council and Fáilte Ireland on board with us this year. And that was recognised from an awful lot of the businesses in there that adds to the prestige that we've got the council and with Fáilte Ireland on board. And I was delighted to have them with us, and they were there in the evening. They were very much part of the evening, and I look forward to talking to them about our plans for 2026, because I think it's good to have them with us to be part of the whole process of the awards. And they certainly were, which is great.
And finally, Sean, if people want to recap on things and maybe see some of the coverage from the weekend, you know, go to the Highland Radio website or the social media pages, and there's lots up there.
There is so much over social media. Mm. We've just launched we just launched the video, so it's about a 2-minute video of the actual evening, so you might be in it. So if you get onto our Highland Radio social pages, there's loads of photographs up as well. They'll probably be in some of the newspapers, I would say. But yeah, if you go to our Highland Radio social media pages, you'll see, I think there's over 100 pictures there. And they're, Clive Watson is a very good photographer. He did a great job for the second year running. So that they, and do you know what? The style, oh wow. Even the men look well, Chris.
And if you go to the website, Highland Radio website, you can see all the winners are listed there as well.
They are indeed.
Want to check
everything is there.
Out.
So yeah, all transparent and all, it's on the highlandradio.com, and just go to the hospitality awards and everything's listed there. And finally, thanks to everybody who came along and made it the night it was. You know, the 500 people made it, Chris. We can't do it without the people in the room coming with the attitude of, let's all party, let's have a great night. And they definitely did that. So thanks to them. And again, I say I look forward to 2026 to bringing back our third Highland Radio Hospitality Awards.
Well, my thanks to Sean Quinn, Head of Sales with Highland Radio, for coming into studio. Join me again after this break, when I'll be looking at a big increase in passenger numbers using City of Derry Airport, and also finding out about the Agri-Food Regulator.
If you're starting or growing a business, make your first stop Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Get information on all the state supports available and get signposted to other supports and relevant bodies. Whether you're a new entrepreneur or an existing small business owner, start at localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Welcome back. Many people may not be familiar with the Agri-Food Regulator. Well, it's an independent statutory office established under the Agricultural and Food Supply Chain Act 2023. In essence, the Agri-Food Regulator is concerned with promoting fairness and transparency in the agri-food supply chain. Its remit and focus is on business-to-business relationships within the supply chain. To find out more, I've been speaking with Melanie Hall, who is the Head of Unfair Trading Practices, Compliance and Enforcement at the Office of the Agri-Food Regulator.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on here this evening to chat to you. Yeah, so the Agri-Food Regulator is an independent state body. We were set up just over a year ago. And our functions are to promote fairness and transparency in the agri-food supply chain. And I suppose what that means is, and the overall goal is that we have a food supply chain that is sustainable and allows everybody along that supply chain to make a living. So that's our main aim.
The Agri-Food Regulator has launched a survey of suppliers to large retailers and wholesalers, and it wants to hear from agri-food suppliers about their trading experiences with retail and wholesale buyers of their products. Now, let's delve into this a little bit more. First of all, agri-food products, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. It's not just meat, fish and vegetables.
Agri-food products isn't sort of as intuitive as a term as it might sound. The list of the products that the Agri-Food Regulator is concerned with is extensive. But I suppose if I could just maybe give your listeners some of the broad categories that are included. What an agri-food product are live animals. So any live animal, live trees and other plants. Cut flowers and ornamental foliage, as well as cereals and milling industry products. And I suppose that's sort of the agricultural part of it. And then the food product end covers another wide range there. We have our fruit and veg, as you said, the fresh meat, dairy produce, bread and cakes, drinks, alcoholic drinks as well as non-alcoholic drinks. And then we also have processed products, so your chocolate or your sauces or your dairy spreads and yogurt and all of that as well. So as you mentioned, it is a really wide category.
And in many respects, is it fair to say you're essentially sort of a watchdog over the whole industry, and this is why this survey is being carried out?
It is. So there are certain practices that are forbidden in law, and we're asking about those practices, and we're also asking about general other issues that some of these suppliers might be experiencing in their trading relationship with these big buying businesses.
Now, this survey is concerned with people who supply 8 specific buyers, and these are all the household names, Aldi, BWG Foods, Dunnes Stores, Little Ireland, Marks & Spencers, Musgrave Group, Cisco Ireland and Tesco. So from a Donegal perspective, there are a lot of people in this county, a lot of small firms who are supplying those big names.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's what we're interested to hear from. I mean, why it's so important for people to complete this survey is that this is the first time the agri-food regulator is asking these suppliers to come forward and tell us about their experiences. We're trying to give these suppliers a voice. We also have a responsibility to educate suppliers and let them know that there are protections in law for them. And we're here we are the people to talk to if they have an issue and that they want to raise. So these businesses, you know, these suppliers, they're the experts in what's going on in their trade and relationships. And we'd love to hear from them exactly what's happening so that we can ensure that these suppliers are being treated fairly by these bigger buying businesses.
And in a lot of cases, cash flow is so important, and you may have a big contract with a big organization, but sometimes it can be months before you get paid, and that certainly is something that is very important to all involved.
Absolutely. And the unfair trading practices that are set out in law prohibit certain things, and there are 16 unfair trading practices. And again, they cover a wide range, and we have sort of detailed information on them on our website, agrifoodregulator.ie. But to just give you an example of a couple, and you mentioned payments there. So depending on the type of product you're supplying, there's 2 payment periods that you must be paid within. It's either 30 days or it's 60 days. So we should not see anybody that's waiting any longer than that period of time to be getting paid. And if you are, then it's definitely something that we're interested to hear about and to work through with you. Some of the other areas that the unfair trading practices cover are like around contracts. So contracts cannot be changed unilaterally. So your buyer cannot decide to change the spec that you have to provide, or the volume, or the price, or areas like that without your agreement. So again, there's a lot of complexities, I suppose, to what is covered within the law. Our job is to help somebody work through that. So if you felt that you were being treated unfairly, or you felt that there was something that you weren't even sure is something that the legislation say covers, like, please just reach out to us and we will help you understand that and put that practice to an end if it isn't something that should be happening.
And important to point out that people who respond to the survey, there will be full confidentiality.
Yes, absolutely there will. So this survey, we opened it on the 10th of February, and it runs until the 9th of March. And it's going to take about 10 minutes or so for a supplier to complete. It has been run independently from ourselves, and like you just mentioned, all of the answers that you give are anonymous and confidential, and that's the way that they will be treated. So any supplier who wants to provide information in the survey can be rest assured that their buyer will never know they completed the survey, and they will certainly never be identified by any of their comments to their buyer afterwards. Now, the survey itself, I suppose, is not a mechanism for making a complaint to the agri-food regulator. We have mechanisms to do that on our website. There's anonymous tip-off forms, or you can pick up the phone to us. So there's plenty of ways to get in touch with us.
Yeah, like an election opinion poll. I mean, this will give you a snapshot in time, I suppose, of how people's experiences are as things stand.
It is, and it will. This is the first year, like I said, we're set up just over a year ago. So this is the first year we're doing this survey. But it is our intention to do this every year. And that way we can work with these big businesses to ensure that, you know, if there's any issues there, that they change, and that we can see that change real time through the surveys over the time.
Is there any obligation on these eight specific buyers to actually contact their suppliers and give them the information about this survey?
So what we have done is, as we are working with those businesses, and we have asked them to send out to the survey directly to all of their suppliers. So many of the businesses listening in Donegal here this evening will already have received this survey from one or all of their suppliers, or their buyers, I should say. And if you haven't received it, then we have a link to the survey on all of our social media channels, but available on our website at agrifoodregulator.ie as well.
Often businesses are very busy and people have enough things on their plate, so they might see a link to a survey like this. Will it take long to complete? Is there much involved to actually replying to it?
So, yeah, like, we absolutely understand that is the case. And I suppose we're trying to find the time of year that is least busy. And, I mean, I think sometimes everybody has the same idea, and therefore a lot of maybe surveys get sent out at the end of January. So we're hoping there's not survey lethargy filling in here. But it should take about 10 minutes. And I think, you know, the fact that you're... The buying businesses, the big supermarkets and wholesalers there are sending it directly to their supplying contacts. Hopefully it's hitting the right person within each of these organisations that would have the information at hand to answer the questions of the survey.
And to find out more about the survey and indeed more about the Agri-Food Regulator, just give us that website address again.
Yes, it's agrifoodregulator.ie.
Now, just while we have you on, Melanie, there is also an annual compliance report that businesses will be required to submit. The deadline is the end of March, the 31st of March. So maybe you can just elaborate a little bit on what exactly it is.
Yeah, so I suppose we've just had a call to action there for the suppliers. And this is a call to action for those big buyers. So a compliance reporting buyer has to provide the Agri-Food Regulator with an annual report on how they are complying with the unfair trading legislation that is in place in the country. So not all companies are going to maybe understand the concept of this yet, as again, it has only been brought in since we have become established. So this is the first year that we're requiring this annual report. So there are three criteria that your business needs to fit, once it does fit these criteria, then you are legally required to provide us with this annual report. And those criteria are that your business must be established within the state, that they buy agricultural and food products, the list of products sort of that I mentioned earlier, and that they have a turnover of over 50 million euro in the past year. So as you can imagine, we're talking about some significant businesses here.
And again, if people want to find out more about that, the website is probably the best first port of call.
It is. We've done an extensive FAQs on the compliance reporting buyers. So if any of these businesses are listening today and are wondering, does this really apply to me? Is this something that I need to be doing? I would recommend go onto the website, have a look at the FAQs, and then reach out to us. Like, this is the first year, like I say, that we're doing this, that this responsibility is there. And what we want to do is encourage compliance with it, and want to be able to help businesses be in compliance. So we have a template for these businesses to complete and guidance that goes with that. So if you're a business and you reach out to us through the website, then we'll provide you with a template and we'll provide you with the guidance and we will help you to complete that as you need.
And finally, Melanie, the agri-food regulator, if you come across instances of things that are not adding up, that there are unfair trading practices being carried out, what powers do you have, or what happens next when you come across something where there certainly appears to be an issue?
If somebody makes a complaint to the agri-food regulator, then we do have extensive powers to investigate that complaint. And that includes inspections of businesses and all the investigative powers that would run all the way up to bringing court proceedings if necessary. So like we would encourage anybody who thinks that they may have experienced something that is an unfair trading practice to come forward and talk to us, and we'll be able to talk you through the process and do our best to ensure that the trading practice is put to an end.
And that was Melanie Hall, Head of Unfair Trading Practices Compliance and Enforcement at the Office of the Agri-Food Regulator. And in some other news, interesting to note some figures that have just come out. People from Donegal use several airports in the state, with Dublin, Ireland West and Donegal Airport among them. And, of course, they use airports in the north. And the latest statistics for the final quarter of 2024 for Belfast International, Belfast City and the City of Derry airports have just been published by the UK Civil Aviation Authority. And they show that the final quarter of 2024, that's October to December, has seen a continuation of the upward trend from previous quarters. Belfast International leading the way, up 8.2% on the same period last year. Belfast City had a 3.6% increase. However, the number of passengers going through City of Derry Airport jumped by 62.8% to 52,522 passengers in the last 3 months of 2024. And that's compared with the previous year. A big jump. Well, the reason behind it, largely due to the fact that EasyJet services to Edinburgh and Liverpool commenced from City of Derry in November. Should also be pointed out that that big 62% jump came from a relatively low base in 2023. Indeed, passenger numbers during the last 3 months of 2024 going through City of Derry Airport were still below the levels of 2019 pre-COVID times. Well, looking at the figures in a broader sense for the 12 months of 2024, there was an overall increase at the three airports in the north. Belfast International handled 1.56 million passengers in the fourth quarter. Belfast City Airport handled 580,000, and the figure for Derry, as we've just heard, 52,522. Putting that in stark terms, Belfast City Airport 10 times busier than City of Derry, while Belfast International is 30 times busier. Indeed, Ireland West Airport in Knock handles about 5 times the number of passengers going through City of Derry Airport. But overall, the trend very much upwards in terms of passenger numbers. Indeed, that applies also to Donegal Airport, and further growth expected there this year. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. As always, thank you for tuning in. And I'll conclude in the usual fashion by hoping that you have a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. From me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.